thought about saying, you don't have to come, I've already taken care of everything in Tampa. Then I thought, no, probably the Lord wants us to team up on Tampa. So I just waved at him out the airplane as we crisscrossed together, and I'm thrilled to be pinch hitting for him today. But let me just mention two books very quickly. This, I said 12 years in the first service, but actually I was counting today. 15 years ago, my wife gave me a prophecy. You know you got a good woman when she prophesies to you. And my wife, Cece, gave me a word from the Lord. She said, one day you're going to write a book called The Pleasure of His Company. And you're going to teach people how to connect with the Father heart of God. And I waited 15 years, as I said, to write the book because I just wanted to make sure it was God's time and that he'd put everything in me he wanted in me to before I tried to write it. And I really went to a new level in my writing skill in this book. And I think it's just because this book is special to the Lord, the subject, not necessarily my book, but just that people would be able to connect with his heart. And I had a national leader talk to me recently, said, you went to a new level in your writing when you wrote that book, didn't you? And I said, I really did. It's 30 easy read chapters that will help you connect with the Lord. I encourage people to take one a day for a month and just let the Lord take you deeper with him. The other book is just out within the last, I don't know, month or so. It's called The Power of Hope. God gave me this book for hurting people, people that have gone through loss, hope deferred, loss of a loved one, loss of a job, just setback, you know, anything that someone could go through that the enemy tries to use to squelch your faith and your walk with the Lord. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And this is a book on how to be restored from that. And the Lord is using this in wonderful, wonderful ways. This is a book that I know will help a lot of people. So, you know, I don't want to take, I gave a cup away in the first service, but I felt sorry for the people that ran up and didn't get one. So I'm not going to do that again. So somebody, would you come and just take these? You pass them out. You know people around here. Give one of the new believers the pleasure of his company, and give someone that's coming through a hard time the power of hope. And I believe we're coming into an amazing new season in the body of Christ and the earth. I believe we're about to experience the absolute greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the earth that the world has ever seen. And I'm including the book of Acts. I believe we're going to see more people saved in the next 10, 15 years than we've seen in all of history. I believe we're going to get a billion or two people saved over the next 15 years. I think entire nations are going to be transformed. Now, I was prophesying recently, and I heard myself prophesy, and I thought, man, Lord, I hope that was you. And I went and prayed about it, and I said, okay, I feel like it was you. I wasn't just speaking out of my soul. But I prophesied that there'll be nations that are called Muslim nations now that won't even be considered a Muslim nation 10 years from now. Because God is going to transform entire nations, cities. There is such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming. It's going to be awesome. And a part of that will be signs and wonders. I was in the early service, in the worship, the Lord shifted my heart from what I had planned to share on, and I went to plan B, which was back there in the back of my mind that maybe I'll do that, but I had come out here deciding not to, and then in the worship, it's just like the Lord said, I do want you to talk about miracles. But really where I'm going with this message is God wants to use you for miracles. And there'll be corporate gatherings, you know, in this room today, when that one point of the worship hit, I hope some of you tuned in to what God was doing, because I believe people could have just taken a miracle of healing right in that atmosphere. And I'm going to talk about for the next 30 minutes or so different ways through which God releases miracles and share some stories and testimonies. But one that came to my mind earlier that I didn't share in the first service was, You know, sometimes the Lord just releases healing through the corporate anointing. There's such a strength that comes through the unity in the corporate place we go to. You can't get as far in faith and the anointing and the presence of God on your own as you can get when the body comes together. It's just God's plan that we need each other, His honoring of the body of Christ, all of us. He will do things through the corporate that He won't do through the one. And I remember one service, this just really stands out to me. God was doing that. See, back in the 70s, 60s, miracles were just almost common. It's not that everybody was healed, but it was not unusual. I was in a part of that season where it was unusual if there wasn't somebody healed in a service. And I've been in services where dozens of significant healings took place. And I'm not talking about Africa or Argentina or, you know, some India where they have the big crusades and you hear those stories. I'm talking about America. And in one of those times, we were in a service like this, and I'll tell you, the presence of God was so thick, and He was just hovering there in the room, and we didn't even know it happened. And the girl that it happened to didn't know it happened till she went back to her room at Christ for the Nations and started getting ready for bed, took her shoes off, and screamed because she had been born without toenails. None of us knew it because, you know, she didn't wear open-toed shoes or sandals because she was embarrassed. It would have been embarrassed too, so nobody really knew it, I suppose, except her roommates. And how does God grow toenails without the person even knowing it? And her roommates hear her scream. She takes her shoes off and she looks down and she says, "Ah, I have toenails." So they say, "Break out the polish. We're going to have a party." You know, just God hovering in the room. Let me tell you about several ways that God, that's one way. One of the ways that God brings healings is just through you being an intercessor for someone. Because God doesn't always do an instant miracle. Sometimes it's a process of healing that takes place. And sometimes we make the mistake of thinking when it doesn't happen instantly when they're prayed for that, well, maybe God doesn't want to do it. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's that God is working other principles and other things into that process to teach or equip or just do things that He couldn't do necessarily if He did it instantly. One of those times was when I prayed for my wife. And back in the 80s, probably 1984, my wife had a pain in her abdomen. And she'd had it for about a year before she told me or went to the doctor. It had started with a very, very, very minor thing and then grew in its intensity for a year. And finally she said, I got something wrong. I need to go get this checked out. And the doctor, who's an elder in our church also, he said to her, "You have a cyst on your ovary, and it's about the size of a large egg. And we're going to have to go in and take it out. And we probably will have to remove the ovary because it's been there so long." And that was, you know, nobody wants surgery, but we hadn't even started our family yet. And, you know, it's just kind of a very unpleasant thought to start thinking about her having issues like that. We don't even have kids yet. So, but, you know, I said, "Lord, I just believe that we could get rid of that through prayer." We had tried the easy route. We had asked the elders to pray for her and anoint her with oil and we had had the prayer of agreement over her, and we probably did the charismatic. We were good charismatic. We probably knocked her down on the floor. Somebody may have blown on her. I don't know. You know, we did it. We really did it, you know. But it didn't happen instantly. And I went to the Lord, and I talked to the doctor that Sunday. I said, "Is this an emergency situation where we've got to do this quickly, or would you give me some time to pray?" And he said, "It's not emergency. It's not malignant. It's just we got to get it out. It's going to do damage and mess things up." But he said, I'll give you 2 months, and if you don't get it your way, we'll get it my way." And I said, "Well, that's fair enough. That's good." So I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I believe you do want to heal my wife. How do you want to do this? Is there a strategy you want to give me? And I heard the Lord very clearly. He spoke to me and he said, yes, there is. I want you to pray for your wife in the spirit, in your prayer language, every day for an hour. Well, I mean, that was a long time for me to go one. I mean, I pray in the spirit for a few minutes and think. If you look at my watch, has it been an hour yet? It'd be 10 minutes. I say, ooh, blah, 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 you know. And I said, well, what does she have to do? How about 30-30? He said, no, she didn't have to do anything. She's just going to receive. You're going to pray for an hour today. Because the Lord was teaching me principles of prayer. And he wanted me to learn how to put those into practice and persevere and make a stand of faith and learn to release power through my prayers on a daily basis. And he wanted to teach me the validity and the reality of my ability to cover her as her husband. And so God was just doing a lot of things. So sure, I just did it. I got my day timer and blocked out an hour every day, and I went to the sanctuary. I was an associate pastor, wasn't a senior pastor yet. And I just said, Lord, you know, you told me to do this. I believe you want to heal my wife. And in obedience to you, I'm just going to pray in the spirit now for the next hour and believe that you're going to touch her. And not just start praying in my prayer language. And for the first 2 weeks, no change. And after about 2 weeks, she came to me and she said, you know, I think the pain is decreasing just a little. And that Sunday, we talked to the doctor at church, and he said, hey, if it is decreasing, that can only be for one reason. It must be shrinking. Just keep doing what you're doing. I said. So about a week later, which will be 3 weeks into the process, she came to me and she said, it's definitely decreased. The pain has decreased. Well, that was just really adding fuel to my fire. And so in the fourth week, I was praying one day, just walking and praying in the spirit, and I saw a picture. Some might call it a vision. I just had a mental picture I knew was from God. And I saw myself with that cyst in my hand, and I was squeezing the life out. I was just crushing it. And I didn't know then what I know now. I didn't know that Romans 8 that talks about the Holy Spirit helping us in our prayers. When we don't know how to pray as we should, he will pray through us. I didn't know the word help there. The Greek word, soon antilambanomai, a big, long Greek word. You know there's got to be some revelation in there. Soon antilambanomai. How could you possibly translate that with the word help? You have to be filled with the Spirit and have your prayer language to even say that word. The word really means lambono, take hold of. Soon means together with. Anti means against. What it means literally is take hold of, together with, against. Well, I didn't know it meant that, but that's what was happening. God was teaching me, and it was even more meaningful to me when I found the definition later, because I wasn't trying to do something in Scripture. I was just following God's instruction, and he showed me, this is what you were doing. You were allowing me to take hold of that with you against that growth to get rid of it. So I prayed for another week, and she said, every day it's decreasing, it's decreasing, it's decreasing. And after one more week, I was just praying and not even thinking about that picture. And I saw the picture again, and I saw this cyst in my hand, and I was just crushing it again. And all of a sudden, there was nothing there. It was gone. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, it's done. It's done. And I went to her, and I said, I told her what I saw, and she said, well, you know, okay, I believe it. But she said, there's still a tiny, tiny bit of discomfort there. But I said, well, I'll just keep praying. And the next day when I went to pray for an hour, I started praying, and I just said, no desire whatsoever to pray about that. Because every time I tried to pray up for that, I just knew in my heart it's done. So I just prayed for something else. And about 3 days later, she said, it's completely gone. The pain's gone. She went back to the doctor. and the test, the ultrasound, whatever it was they were doing, showed completely gone. Absolutely. And never came back. See, sometimes God wants to heal that person, but he also wants to do something in you or in them. And if I can't tell you how many times I've thanked the Lord for not doing it through the elders just laying hands on her. Because I needed to know how to persevere, press in. I needed to know I could grab something and the Holy Spirit would take it with me in the spirit realm and fight for me. I needed to put it in practice so when I taught it, I would not only tell people biblically this can happen, I could say to them, I've done this. Don't assume just because it doesn't happen instantly that he doesn't want to do it. Well, right, you know, shortly while after that, I had another experience where the Lord assigned me to pray for a person. And this time a young girl came up to me after a service and she said, I really believe that you believe this stuff. And I said, I do believe this stuff. She said, well, would you come and pray for my sister? My sister, she said, is really sick and sleeps most of the time. But what she didn't tell me was she was a vegetable and she'd been in a coma for a year and a half. So she didn't lie. She did sleep most of the time, like all the time. And she was pretty sick. She breathed through a tube, a tracheotomy, and a tube. She was fed through her stomach here into the tube. She was just a hopeless case. And she said, would you come pray for her? She didn't tell me all that. I said, well, sure, I will. And so I went, and I found she was about 45 minutes away. So it was a significant drive to a city nearby. And she was in a nursing home. And I walked in, and it was just shocking what I found. And I prayed for her for about an hour, and I just wept over her, 21-year-old girl, just completely lifeless. And I said, Lord, raise this girl up, heal her, and give her a new brain. And it didn't, nothing happened. And I felt the Lord say, I'm assigning you to pray for this girl. I want you to come drive to this city. I want you to do it every week, and I want you to pray over her for an hour or two, and I'm going to heal her. And so I started on a journey that ended up being a year. It's like the Lord said, well, you did it for a month. Let's see if you can do it for a year. I didn't know it was going to take a year. I don't know if I'd have done it. I don't know if I'd have had the strength or the determination to even try it. But I would just go to her and pray, and I would weep over her. And sometimes I'd just pray in the spirit for 45 minutes or an hour, or sometimes an hour and a half. Sometimes I'd just worship, just sing in the spirit. And sometimes what else do you do? What do you do? You feel like you do the same thing over and over. Sometimes I'd just take my Bible and just start reading the word over her. And I'd just read for an hour. I thought she could hear me, and I'd talk to her. Because sometimes in a coma they can hear you, but she wasn't hearing anything. She was just gone, basically. And, I wanted to give up many times. I can't tell you, probably every week I'd go to the Lord and I'd say, are you sure you sent me to her? Because everybody in this nursing home thinks I'm crazy. And her family, except for her sister, thinks I'm crazy. My staff, friends think I'm crazy. And sometimes I think I'm crazy. And I would always hear the Lord say, yes, I've sent you to her. I want you to keep praying for her. As he was teaching me, he wasn't just healing her. He was teaching me. And he was teaching me, among other things, to lay down my life for somebody else in a hidden room that nobody would see. Sometimes I think he did more for me than her. But after a year, her sister came to me and said they've moved her to the hospital. She's got an infection that's set in her body, and they think she's going to die this time in the hospital. And they've done another CAT scan on her brain, and they said they can't find any part of her brain that's not covered with pus. It's just one mass of infection, and she couldn't possibly survive. So they told us, you want to see her again live, you need to go see her. And I went to, she said, so you need to go see her. And I went to see her, and I had come to a point, and I don't know when it happened, but probably 6 or 8 months into this process, instead of it being so intimidating and overwhelming to me, my faith started growing. You know, I think it was just praying in the Spirit for hour after hour over her and speaking the word. And finally, something started growing inside of me. It was faith. And by the time this happened, I remember going to her in the hospital, and it wasn't the gift of faith. This was a residual faith that I was walking in. And I leaned over to her, and I thought maybe she could hear me, as I said. And I was weeping, and I said, called her name, and I said, this nightmare is almost over. And nothing can keep us from receiving our miracle. You're going to have a new brain. You're going to have a normal life. Jesus is going to raise you up. And nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop us. And I walked out of the room crying. I walked down the hall. I'm sure people thought I was crazy. I walked down the hall of the hospital weeping, saying, nothing can stop us. And the next day, the Lord walked in her room and just healed her. I mean, nobody around but Jesus just walked in and woke her up and gave her a new brain. And I've asked him several times why he didn't do it when I was there. He probably knew there was something in me to try to take the credit. She had muscles, her muscles had atrophied, and she had to go through therapy. That's kind of interesting, too, and the Lord didn't just give her instant creative miracle all through her body or muscles. She had to go through therapy and learn to walk again. But when the nurses walked in that morning, she was just laying there awake, and she smiled and looked up at him like, hi, my name's so-and-so. Why am I here? And the newspapers, front page of the newspaper the next day, woman awake, alive, healthy after 2.5 years in a coma. Listen, you know, it's just the grace of God working through someone who is actually still in the school of prayer at the time. Not well known, didn't even really have an established ministry, just trying to make my way into, find my way into what God had for me. You don't have to be well known or famous. You don't have to know a bunch of Greek words. You just have to be available. Just available. So sometimes God wants to do it through our prayers. So sometimes God will do it instantly. And he'll do it through the gifts of the Spirit. And there are different gifts of the Spirit. There's the gift of faith. The gift of faith will come on you. When the gift of faith comes on you, now you're not moving in that residual faith that you walk in on a regular basis. God puts his faith in you, and you just know that you know, and you can believe for anything in that moment he tells you to do. And I remember one day, I was way back when I was leading the worship at Christ for the Nations back in the 70s, back when the bar was way lower for worship. I couldn't even run the sound for these guys. But I was, and before we'd have chapel, we'd have prayer requests. Students would hand in, we'd pray a little bit, and then we'd go into worship. And this particular morning, they handed me a prayer request. One of our outreach teams had been, I think, to the hospital, or maybe they met her on the streets in the complex nearby witnessing. But there was a lady who had just become a single parent. She'd given birth to a baby 2 or 3 days before they handed me the prayer request. And this baby had a rough delivery. She had a rough delivery, and the baby was injured in the process. They took the forceps and had to pull the baby, and they fractured the baby's skull. And so they said, we'll have our student body pray for your baby. And when they handed it to me, when we started praying, I said, we're going to pray for this baby and ask God for a miracle. And the gift of faith came on me. I mean, just like somebody dumped a bucket of water on me, I was not the same. The gift of faith came on. And then it was just like it came on the whole room. And I said, and she happened to live in an apartment complex just a little ways off from there. And I said, told him what it was and said, point over there and let's just decree over her right now that she's going to receive a miracle. And I mean, I was decreeing. I wasn't just saying, Lord, would you do this? I said, I command this skull to be healed in Jesus' name. And I mean, the students were there. They were in agreement. They were just commanding God's healing power to be released. It was awesome. We prayed for 2 or 3 minutes and went to worship. And sure enough, she came to somebody that afternoon or back, went to the hospital to see her baby, and they'd run more tests, and they said, we don't understand what happened. We've got these x-rays. Your baby has a fractured skull. We got these x-rays. There's nothing wrong with your baby. Your baby is completely normal. Her skull is completely normal. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. And what do you think that girl did? She gave her heart to Jesus. It was such a sign and a wonder to her. She was born again. And I tell you, one of the greatest privileges I've ever had, she came the following Sunday. We had an afternoon service there at Christ for the Nations. And I had the awesome privilege that Sunday of dedicating that baby to the Lord. What? See, the Lord, he loves people. Like we sang this morning, he's for us. And he wants to use you. I remember when I was in Guatemala in 1979. I would have been 25 years old. You don't have to be 50 or 40 or been walking with God for 30 years for him to use you. And we were down there, and I was just sort of, you know, trying to learn, just grow, and just, I was serving another ministry down there. Cece and I went down for a month and said, we just want to serve you and travel with you and watch you and pray for you. So we got invited to go to the hospital to minister to a lady that had tuberculosis. And when we got there, we found that this lady was in a I guess you'd call it a ward. It was really a very simple building attached to the hospital. It's about 30 by 60. And it was just like an army ward, barracks, a bed, 3 feet later, bed, no partitions, no equipment. It was just a place on the grounds where they could bring poor people that couldn't pay, and the doctors and nurses could walk over and give them some pills, drugs, whatever, and try to help them a little bit. Family had to bring food if they were fed. And that's, you know, so you can imagine that this, as contagious as tuberculosis is, this lady's just coughing it over the whole room. But we talked to her. She was a believer. We encouraged her in her faith, and we prayed for her. And you know, we felt like God had touched her, but we couldn't prove it. And she said, you know, she felt the Lord's presence, and you know, we just said, okay, we should believe you're going to be okay, and you're going to just be, you know, it's going to be proven that that God touched you, and you're going to leave here okay. And we turned to walk out, and a lady next to her had been listening to the conversation. And as we turned to go, she said, would you pray for me? She's speaking in Spanish, and we've got an interpreter. She wants you to pray for her. So we said, well, what is it? And she pulled her hands out from under the sheet, and her hands were paralyzed. She had no use of them whatsoever. She could move her arms, but she couldn't move her hands. And she said, my feet are the same way. I can't move my feet. And she said, I was in here for a minor surgery, and the doctors accidentally cut a wrong part of my spinal cord, and it's left me this way, and they say there's nothing they can do for me. I'll always be paralyzed in my hands and my feet. And my first thought was, because I was the one doing the praying, not the other guy. He was just watching this. My first thought was, I don't do paralysis. I do headaches. If you have a cold, I'm there. I'm down for that. I pray for your cold. I got faith for that. But I don't do paralysis. It was a jolt of intimidation that hit me. Just thought, oh, whoa. But then I had quickly thought, well, I know what I do believe, because I didn't have faith that God was just going to do it. I didn't grab her hands and start shaking her hand and say, I command your hands to be normal. I didn't have that kind of faith. But I'll tell you what I did have. I knew that Jesus heals people today. And I knew that the Bible said we as believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Didn't say preachers will. Didn't say apostles will. Didn't say pastors will. It said believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. And I thought, well, I don't know if he's going to do this, but I know that he might. I know that he can. And I know I qualify as an instrument that he could use. And I have enough faith to try it. That's where my faith was. I had enough faith to try it. And we prayed for her and nothing happened. Until we were about 10 feet away. And we were walking. I just said, well, you know, the Lord's going to, he's going to touch you. We just believe he's going to touch you. And I turned to walk away and I just wanted to get out of there as fast as I could. And about 10 feet away, behind me, I heard someone begin to scream. Milagro! Miracle. I didn't even know what it meant. Milagro! And I turned around and she was doing this. Milagro! Milagro! And her kicking her feet under the covers. Milagro! And I'm standing in the middle of the room going, Milagro! I can't believe it. Then I got my spiritual wits about me and I said, well, of course, what do you think? I mean, we prayed a prayer of faith. You're going to get a milagro today, you know. Hallelujah, glory to God. I think I was as surprised as anybody in the room. And what do you think all the other ladies in that room started doing? Come pray for me. Some of them are weeping. Pray for me. We started sharing Jesus with them and leading ladies to the Lord, and praying for others. I mean, we were doing this for about an hour before finally a nurse happened in, and the room was just kind of like an altar service. Ladies were crying. Others were worshiping God. We were singing and praying. And this nurse walked in and said, what are y'all doing? You can't do this. And made us leave. But we had several healings. Several ladies come to Jesus because the Lord worked a miracle. It's interesting to me. I'm going to try to land this thing really fast. I've been all morning trying to tune in. What is it I'm feeling? I feel in here the very same. I'm not saying like the same level or it's going to look the same, but in those days of the Jesus movement, the charismatic movement, the voice of healing movement, you go in a room and you could feel the anointing for miracles and that God was and souls. You could feel there's an anointing for harvest. It was something in the atmosphere spiritually. I feel that in this place. I don't know if God's saying, you know, just I don't know if I'm going to start feeling it everywhere. I haven't been feeling it necessarily everywhere. I feel that very same thing here that I felt back then. It was just like, it's here. It's here. Tap into it. It's here. That's what I feel. And I don't have just finished with this because this is really, I think, the point of the whole message. In the book of Acts, when God started saving people by the thousands, and signs and wonders started breaking out, in the first five chapters of the book of Acts, it says over and over again, people were healed, multitudes were healed, and it usually says at the hands of the apostles. And even if it doesn't say it, it's implied that it was, like Peter when his shadow was healing people in the fifth chapter. It was always through the ministry of the apostles. And it was great. And the church was growing dramatically. 3,000 here, 5,000 there. But in Acts chapter 6, something changes. And what happened was God, they had been growing so fast, and they're learning on the fly. They don't have an organized church. They don't have programs. They don't have deacons and elders. They're just figuring this out as they go. And they had gotten so overwhelmed, the apostles trying to run everything, even the practical details of food distribution and taking care of the orphans and the widows. And they'd gotten so busy, they said, we gotta get some people, just some of the folks, to start overseeing some of these ministries. And what people call deacons was, that concept was birthed in Acts chapter 6, where they said, we're going to find 7 faithful men, and we're going to put them in charge of all these practical ministries. They're not going to be leading the church. They're not going to be governmentally in the church, but they're going to be taking care of the practical needs so we can give ourselves to the word and prayer. And so they found them, and then they prayed over them, laid hands on them. But I don't know if they expected it, but something happened when they laid hands on these guys. Because the same anointing that was operating in the apostles started operating through these 7 deacons. And I guess maybe there's somebody in the food line that was limping or needed a miracle. One verse about Philip says, many in Samaria, many, many, and it's there in the Greek, many that were paralyzed were healed. These guys started not only passing out food, they started healing the sick. And once you get to chapter 6, the first 5 chapters, it's all about the ministry of the apostles, but when you get to 6, 7, 8, 9, it's all about the ministry of the folks, the common folks, the church, believers. And the same mega is the word in Greek. Mega miracles were happening through the apostles. Megas, we get the English word mega. Mega power was on the apostles, and mega miracles are happening. But in Acts chapter 6, when they laid hands on the deacons, very same language starts flowing. Mega miracles starts happening through the deacons. And here's what fascinates me. In the first 5 chapters, when the church was growing quickly, the word used to describe it is a math term that just means addition. God was adding to the church. But when you get to chapter 6, that word is never used again in the rest of the book of Acts. The word that's used to describe the growth is not addition, but multiplication. Now, you can't tell me that's a coincidence. When does the most... And by the way, 3,000 here, 5,000 there, and God, that was only addition. That'd be multiplication today, wouldn't it, if we had 5,000 saved today? But it was only addition. But it started multiplying. I don't know how many it was, but I know this. The scripture says they were turning the world upside down. The religious leaders and the civil leaders said, we better stop these people. They're taking over the world. Why? Because the ministry got out of the pulpit. He got out of them just thinking, well, I wish I was one of the 11 or the 12 so that I could work miracles. All of a sudden they realized, I can. I'm a believer. Same Holy Spirit in me is in them. And they all realize, wait a minute, he doesn't want to do this on Sunday morning or Saturday night, whatever they meant. He wants to do it all week. I tell you, this is the revelation that the church is about to step into. We're about to realize we are all walking Holy Ghost time bombs. He's just looking for someplace to happen through you, through you, through you, and you, and you. And I think sometimes he'd rather use somebody that's not famous or well known. He'd just rather use somebody that's just loves him and believes in him and is going to give him all the credit. I'm going to pray over you. I know that I know God told me to do this today. Release a mantle, an anointing here in this place for an increase of signs and wonders and miracles. And that doesn't mean you're going to quit your job and start traveling around the country trying to do healing ministry. That means that when you hear about that person on the job that's just been diagnosed with cancer or something else, that you wait for that opportunity when you're not going to embarrass them, and you pull them off to the side and you say, my heart is so going out to you right now, but I believe in prayer. Could I please just pray for you? Let's just see what God will do. And I tell you, you're going to see what God will do. And I'm not telling you they're all going to get healed, but I'm going to tell you some of them are going to get healed. And I'm going to tell you that it's going to increase more and more and more. And in your home groups and in your backyard barbecues, I tell you, it's going to start happening. Let me pray over you right now. Raise your hands and just receive. You don't have to do anything to strive into this. You just receive. Lord, I'm asking you for an increase of anointing for miracles. I'm asking you for gifts of healing to be released in this place, in these believers. Not just when they gather here, Lord, but all the time. I'm asking you to even bring the gift of faith on people here, that suddenly they will know that they know that they know that they know God's going to heal this person. Lord, I'm asking you for intercession to go to another level, and some will be assigned to certain people to pray until they come into the kingdom, until they're born again, until they're delivered, until they're healed. Father, I'm asking you for literally the spirit of revelation to explode in this place, just like it was during the worship earlier, when we knew we were walking in victory. We knew you were for us. We knew we were overcomers. I'm asking you, Lord, for the spirit of faith to come in this place and go out from this place, where when they're gathered here, the anointing is so thick for miracles that people are going to just, their lives will be transformed. While they sit in your presence, they'll be transformed, made whole. I'm asking you, Lord, for boldness. The early church asked you for boldness. They said, Lord, they're threatening us. They're killing us. They're putting us in jail. Give us boldness. And Lord, you did that. You responded by giving them a bold confidence to speak your word and preach about you. And I'm asking you that. I'm asking you for the leaders, Lord, here to continue to receive strategy of equipping the saints, equipping the believers, encouraging them. I know they do it here, Lord. I'm asking you to take it to another level. Let it be a revelation that permeates this place. We are the church. We are his ambassadors. We are his laborers. We are his instruments. I'm asking you to let it be strong. I'm asking you to rock, Lord. I'm asking you that a year from now, this place and every place associated with this place will have doubled at least because of harvest, people coming to Jesus. Until they just have to say, what in the world, where do we put them? And just plant more churches and have more services. Lord, I'm asking you to bring in the lost. And I know, Lord, you want to work miracles as a part of that. So we just say, every believer here in this room, you are an instrument in his hand. You are qualified to be a minister of the new covenant. Receive that revelation into your heart. Receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's any here today, and we're going to give opportunity for you to come up and be ministered to by folks in just a minute, but Lord, in this room today, heal people when they get up here, Lord. Let something happen today in this room. Let someone with a terminal illness leave here healed, alive, a sign and a wonder. Lord, we thank you for this, and we believe it. Come on, if you believe it, would you just give the Lord some praise for just a moment.
Hallelujah. We don't want to lose this moment of impartation. I want you to take it in. Receive it into your heart right now. The devil will say to you, yes, but. Would you just tell the devil to butt out and just receive what the Lord has? Because it's really not about you. It's about Him. We're going to receive an offering for the apostle of the Lord tonight in his house this morning. I want you to worship the Lord in your giving. I want you to be a part of what God is doing through His ministry and His life. And as you give unto Him, you are becoming a part of that. So whether you can give a large amount or whether you can give a small amount, God knows what you're able to do. But we want to pour into that today. So Father, we just thank You right now for the word of the Lord that has come to us and the experience of the Lord that is upon us. And we thank You for Your gift and givers. As the ushers are receiving, go ahead, ushers, receiving the offering this morning, I'm going to ask the prayer team, after you've given, to come forward, if you would, and get ready to minister to those that want to be prayed with, whatever need you have. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you haven't accepted Christ into your life. Or maybe you need to come back to the Lord and renew your relationship with Him. Or maybe you're needing healing. Or maybe you're needing courage. Maybe you're just needing some boldness. Maybe even like the worship team was singing, and that so resonated. Maybe you need your joy back. Maybe you just need to get your joy back this morning. I'm going to ask you to wait till the ushers have completed before anybody exits the building. Give the ushers time to complete their work. But I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now. And let's just, if you want prayer, I want you to come forward and let this awesome prayer team minister to you. Let them touch your life this morning with the gift of God that is upon them as we worship together.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, sing. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Everybody, plenty of time to be prayed for. If you need to leave, feel free to be dismissed. Don't forget the product table. Make yourself available to Doug Sheets' material. God bless you and thank you.